श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपी गोपीनाथ श्याम सुंदर योगदान की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथ धाम की जय। गंगा माई की जय। जामुनी की जय। तुलसीदेव भक्तदेव की जय। श्री गोविंद देव की जय। श्याम वीर भक्त की जय। Glory to the Lord. All glory is to the assembly of believers. All glory is to the assembly of believers. All glory is to the assembly of believers. All glory is to Sri Guru and his soul. Nice group is assembled here this evening. Yes, everyone is familiar with Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I want to read. You don't get to hear so often from Chaitanya Charitamrita. You need a section on Rupa Goswami's being instructed by Chaitanya. This is an early part of the instruction. What you're trying to begin is instructing you. The first thing that transpires is describing all the different types of living entities. And literally, this is all the different forms and species of life. And out of all of them, how rare it is to achieve the human form of life. The description is taken up about that very special opportunity. And then if you have achieved the human form of life, those are actually the different paths and processes that they can follow. And out of all of them, those who are actually on a progressive path of spiritual are those are actually following principles. Among these, almost half simply give lip service while committing all kinds of sinful activities against these principles. I met some people like this in India. An Indian man that came from America. And just by what they had in medicine and so on, it was very clear their position. Such people do not care for the regular principles. Among the followers of Vedic knowledge, start following the process of fruitive activity and distinguishing between good and work. Out of many such seer fruitive actors, there may be one who is actionless. Out of many millions of such wise men, one may actually become liberated. And out of millions of such liberated ones, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna is very difficult to find. Because a devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. Fruitive workers desire material enjoyment. Jnanis desire liberation. These desire material opulence. Therefore, they are lusty and cannot be peaceful. All great sage, out of many millions of materially liberated people who are frequents, and out of many millions of siddhas who have nearly attained perfection, there is hardly one pure devotee of knowledge. Only such a devotee is actually completely satisfied and peaceful. So what I want to do is I'll continue reading Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Rupa Goswami, and then I'm going to refer back to this verse, because this verse is something that's quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam.
they be found? Famous verse spoken by Lord Chaitanya, the Manda Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam, the Guru Prasad, the Bhagavatam. This is from Madhuriya, chapter 19, 151. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems. Some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fit gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual knight by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of the service. When a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. If he waters the seed gradually by the process of shravana and kirtan, hearing and chanting, the seed will begin to sprout. As one waters the bhakti lata bija, it sprouts, and the creeper gradually increases to the point where it penetrates the walls of the universe and goes down the Viraja River between the spiritual world and the material world. It attains Brahmaloka, Brahmani effulgence, and penetrating through that stratum, which is the spiritual sky and the spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan. Being situated in one's heart and being watered by Shri Kirtan, the bhakti creeper grows more and more. In this way it attains the shelter of the desired tree of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is eternally situated in the planet known as Goloka Vrindavan, in the topmost unit of the spiritual sky. The creeper greatly expands in Goloka Vrindavan planet, and there it produces the fruit of love for Krishna. Although remaining in the material world, the gardener regularly sprinkles the creeper with the water of hearing and chanting. If the devotee commits an offense at the feet of Vaishnava, while cultivating the creeper of his service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are dried up. The gardener must defend the creeper by fencing it all around so that the powerful elephant of offenses may not enter. Sometimes unwanted creepers, such as the creepers of desires for material enjoyment and liberation from the material world, grow along with the creeper of devotional service. The varieties of such unwanted creepers are numerous. Some unnecessary for growing with the bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior unacceptable to those trying to attain perfection, like diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance. All these are unwanted creepers. It does not distinguish between the bhakti lata creeper and these other creepers. The sprinkling of water is misused because the other creepers are nourished, while the bhakti lata creeper is curtailed. As soon as an intelligent devotee sees an unwanted creeper growing beside the real creeper, he must cut it down instantly. Then the real creeper of bhakti lata bija grows nicely, returns home back to Godhead, and seek shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna. When the fruit of devotional service becomes ripe and falls down, the gardener tastes the fruit and thus takes advantage of the creeper and reaches the desired tree of the lotus feet of Krishna in Govindavan. There the devotee serves the lotus feet of the Lord, which are compared to a wish fulfilling. With great bliss he tastes the juice of the and becomes eternally happy. To taste the fruit of devotional service at Goloka Vrindavan is the highest perfection of life. In the presence of such perfection, the four material perfections, namely religion, economic development, certification, and liberation, are their insignificant achievements. As long as there is not the slightest fragrance of pure love of Krishna, which is the perfected medicinal herb for controlling Lord Krishna within the heart, the opulences of material perfection, known as the siddhis, the manifold perfections, such as satya, shama, and so on, or the trance of the yogi, and the monistic bliss of Brahman, all seem perfect for men. When one is situated in pure devotional service, he develops love of Godhead. Therefore, let me describe the symptoms of pure devotional service. So I'm skipping the whole ocean of nectar here, while his purpose describing all of these things. Difficult not to speak a little bit about them. The instructions are so very important. How to understand how this devotional service begins, that's been described. What great fortune. It's this description that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives. Reminds me very much of Prabhupada's answer to a devotee's question once, how I always remain humble. Same kind of telescopic way, this comparison after the next comparison, helping the devotee understand how insignificant we actually are. Describing all the different manifestations of the Lord for the expansions prior to Mahavishnu, and the Mahavishnu is an unlimited universe, a stream of embodying the form of Vishnu. So on, of all those millions of universes, this universe, all those universes, out of that beginning, so many planets and phenomena, just finding, and here we are standing together discussing how insignificant we are. So also, how rare the opportunity is to come in contact with pure devotional service. I just think of all the things in the city. That's enough. That's not enough. This is real driving. How many zoo-like places are there? How many people are very unfortunate? One comparison Prabhupada gave about this was that rarity of coming to the human form of life and coming in contact with the process through devotion to God is as rare as the tortoise swimming in the middle of the ocean and surfacing and sticking his head through a knothole in a floating piece of wood. And yet the incidence of that is so rare. Consider how rare such an event can be. So how rare is it? And then, even that very special benediction, there are still further questions being presented amongst those who are having that opportunity for that contact. Again, millions of such persons, while before the process that waters the seed of devotion is, and has to be very careful to make sure the seed of devotion grows very nicely. Duti Nati Eva Munsana Lap Puja Pratishtadi. These are described briefly here in another Vaishnava literature. That even very clearly distinguish the difference between activities and devotion and good activities. Still, the desire is so for wanting followers or wanting things or engaging in political maneuvering or some seen advancement in position and so on, as things are described. They're not at all new, more than when you plant some flower in your garden. The types of weeds that grow, they're the same old garden weeds that everybody finds in their gardens all over the place. These are also standard honor of the creepers. Manifestations of them are, as we know, grow very quickly in comparison to something that you want to grow. You need to have this capacity to grow much more quickly than you want to grow. So, in executing devotional service, it has to be very vigilant to guard against anything other than that original fruit of pure devotion that the seed is intended to produce. So, then referring back to this verse from the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, of this age, out of many millions of materially liberated persons who are freed from ignorance, and out of many million siddhas who have merely attained perfection, there is hardly one pure devotee of Narayana. Such a devotee is actually completely satisfied and peaceful. So, you don't know how to get the proper scripture here. It actually, the rest that's in the Bhagavatam, it's a quite a long thing. I won't read all of it, but it's simply referring the speaker stand over to Vishwanath Chakravartin. Just simply repeating the paraphrasing. This one I talked about in the chapter before. Simply desiring for your liberation is insufficient. One must be factually liberated. When one understands the futility of materialistic way of life, one begins to knowledge. And therefore he sits himself in the vanaprastha order, unattached to family, wife, and children. One should then go, then further progress to that form of sannyas, the actual renounced order, and fall again, and be afflicted by materialistic life. Even though one desires to be liberated, it does not mean that he is liberated. Only rarely is someone liberated. Indeed, although many men take sannyas to become liberated because of their imperfections, they can become attached to women, material activities, social welfare work, and so on. That means yogis and karmis, devoid of devotional service, are called offenders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhi. One who thinks that everything is Maya instead of thinking everything is Krishna is called an Aparadhi or offender. Although the Mayavadis or impersonalists are members of the Buddhist Sri Krishna, they may nonetheless be counted from the siddhas or those who have realized the self. They may be considered nearer to superfection because at least they have realized what spiritual life is. Such a person becomes Narayana Pen, the devotee of Lord Narayana. He is better than Jiva Mukta, one who is liberated of death. This requires higher intelligence. Then there are some quotes. Nirmini Nakshavi Nikhman Nas, Palestra Nala Kamashuva Buddha, Aruya Kuchchinam Param Tada Padat Pudam Nabi Kadishma Dandra, O Lord, the intelligence of those who think themselves liberated, but who have no devotion, is impure. Even though they rise to the highest point of liberation by dint of sheer penances and austerities, they are sure to fall down into material existence, for they do not take shape. That is what he speaks. Fools deride me when I descend into the human form. They do not know my infinite nature and my supreme dominion over all the fields. Such persons do not know that Krishna's body is material. There is no distinction between the body and the soul. But because less intelligent men see Krishna as a human being, they deride him. You cannot imagine how to know Krishna. It can be the origin of everything. Such persons are described as moha, baffled in their hopes. Whatever they desire for the future will be baffled. Even if they apparently engage in devotional service, they are described as moha, because they ultimately desire to merge into the focus. Again, there's several quotes here that express the same point of the rarity of the book of pure devotion. How rare it is to find someone who is not just wise, like the prophet is described, liberated or considered siddha, having achieved mystical perfection. Firmly situated, actually situated in knowledge of the self, knowledge of the soul beyond. Still, that grandeur of the level is not, it's not safe position to be in. It's not the desired position to be in. Because if one has fully taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, we were discussing this point a little bit in class this morning. The idea of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord is not merely something that's metaphorical. The Lord has form. And at the feet of the Spirit, his pure devotees are taking shelter. In that position as Lord Chaitanya's description goes on, he makes it very clear the difference between the attitude of considering what is the Lord's interest. This is the particular quality of pure devotion. Not desiring anything else, but the pitfalls outlined preceding that pure devotion are something that accrue. One wants to acquire some attention for oneself and benefit for oneself. Even if the Lord is out in the picture, this is still self-centered. That's the characteristic interest that's found in that devotion, where those who are aspiring for liberation have impurity. They're not thinking of what is the need for the Lord. They're thinking, what's my interest? Out of the desire to end the things of those parts of existence that are unwanted, those found in this material realm, get rid of those things. Because that's in mind. Or the even very boldly Lord Chaitanya is describing that, because the yogis, they're only interested in material opulence. Although mystic perfection for ordinary people are just completely wonderful. They're just, because they're so much out of the ordinary and they defy the laws of nature, how can someone seemingly defy the laws of nature unless they're spiritually perfect? Or if not spiritual defects, and God just gives so much reality to this God. But it's described by Lord Chaitanya directly to Rupa Goswami, we find this completed by Rupa Goswami in his book. They're actually just the same as material perfection. It's the same thing that the material intellects, materialistic intellectual scientists are trying to achieve. City after city, each one become lighter, safer, their locus move into the air, or become very, very tiny pieces of stone, and so on, creating planets, destroying planets, adopting city, acquiring from great distance, and so on. Each of these perfections, the Chant is also trying to, they're just springing from the Jokas, not springing from the same position of not accepting truly of God's position. But this quality of pure devotion is, as Lord Chaitanya goes on describing, not caring for anything other than the interest of the support. Here, Lord Chaitanya is describing, when first-class devotion is developed, one must be devoid of all material desires. Knowledge attained by monistic philosophy and intuitive act, the devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably, especially desires. The verse is quoted several times in Yadiraj Krishna, Yan Kama Jayana Kama, Anakurti Krishna, Krishna. Although at each of the first state, as the seed of devotion grows, as the creeper of devotion grows, cannot and should not expect that fruition comes immediately. Of course, Rupa Goswami is right that when one takes up devotional service, it can be understood that this is a continuation of something that has been going on previously. Otherwise, how can one very readily take the purpose of devotional service? What prior indication is there that the living entity can be expected to do like that? But if the living entity does, it's simply a continuation. But even in that continuation, the fruition of pure love of God is so rarely achieved, I can't expect it to happen immediately. Nonetheless, although that all of that is true, that vision, the goal, must be kept clearly in sight. Prabhupada has very nicely described this, that if you know, just like if you're taking something, you say it in a positive way or in a negative way, if you get in your automobile to go somewhere but you don't exactly know where the somewhere is that you want to go, and try to get there, if you don't know what the goal is, you lie for a very long time before you get to the goal, whatever it is, before you get to your destination, whatever it's supposed to be. But even if, on the other hand, on the positive side, you do know what the goal is, although maybe very long distance away. So in the course of travel, how many turns have to be made and so many events have to transpire, so many sequence of things have to be dealt with. Nonetheless, if one very clearly knows what the goal is and desires to achieve that goal very strongly, and has the right need, goals being true. How do you know when the capacity comes up? All the previous personalities who have pursued this path of devotion and have achieved ultimate successes, their quality of compassion is something that fructifies very wonderfully. They've made all kinds of provisions for those that will in the future also try to traverse any path. They've given ample indication and information how to proceed very clearly to the goal, all of the things to avoid and be cautious about, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing here for Rupa Goswami. so many Krishna literatures are there. So it really gave us an understanding how to go from the beginning for the kind of encouragement that in fact perfection of life is not something that's worth the risk or part of this fanciful imagination, but it is genuine. And this is the genuine from the disgenuine, but not the pretentious position. That is also very clear. Some places within Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing Arjuna. He's directly giving interest to Arjuna about his transcendental position. There are different activities that if Arjuna simply takes them up, it can enhance the control of his mind, the control of his senses, and just furthering himself along the path of perfection. Knowledge, because within the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, knowledge of Krishna is something that's very strongly presented. Of course, it is entitled personal knowledge. But merely by understanding information about Krishna, that perfect information about Krishna is not something that's easily achieved. And when it's achieved, as Arjuna's case, simply by following the judgments that Krishna gives, then all knowledge about Krishna is presented to him, as he requests, giving you that information, understanding is imparted. And as one should understand who Krishna is, as knowledge, just like once it comes back into Rupa Goswami, by the process of hearing and chanting. It's not just that his father's pension eating so many books. One of his favorite chant. One of his favorite things his father does when he goes to flea markets. He'll buy 25 books. And I'll finish them in a week. Reading the obvious stuff. All varieties and assortments of information. But to what conclusion? And in the discussions of another, this word, footnote, this discussion. In their discussions with one another, his father will readily admit that he's not happy. At the same time, he practically drives to work. His father drives him to the train station. It takes about a half an hour. But half an hour practically every day, his father's encouraging him, insisting or persuading him or whatever. And he should not just have a single thing addressed. He's scriptures, the words of God, but so many references we should also have. I mean, so many different authors who have read only. Those so many different authors, what gift is it that they're given? What knowledge or realization have they acquired in heaven and heart? Because this kind of knowledge very clearly is coming in a descending fashion, not by just the mandalamita kona bhagavan, the mandalamita kona, just wandering all over the universe, picking little scraps of this and that, and becoming fascinated by it. There's no reason for all that. But on the other hand, when one actually has knowledge of the Supreme, then that knowledge brings one, Krishna described it as a disciple, it brings one to render devotional service. When one actually knows who Krishna is, one is help, come help, servant. knowledge is compelling. So to get that knowledge is not some thing. It's not something that comes out of scholarship. Scholars can also read these books and not come to the same thing that. It's this paper of devotion that allows, through the process of hearing the chanting, a deeper appreciation of the personality of God is enough. More and more the desire to know Krishna, more and more the desire to simply find Krishna's pleasure, like one's own pleasure. That notion is all inconsistent with questions of Christianity. The simple and plain fact that how much understanding information, glorification, detail, appreciations of the glories that are there become greater and greater, for all the more opportunity there is to feel great devotion of. And all the more compelling it is to serve Him. Rupa Goswami describes this as well in Nectar of Devotion, that love is of a singularly directed expression. To love an individual means, to some extent, exclusion of others. So that on the material platform, that creates problems, because it's not exclusion, it's not some genuine love. The world term love, or prema, is only appropriate in order to God, in relation to the absolute truth, the Supreme Being. Because when that love is directed towards the Supreme Being, all beings as parts and parcels of the Supreme Being, also automatically love. Not in a ethnocentric way, but in a very detailed way. Love in terms of what is the Supreme Being's desire in relation to those living beings. Krishna's desire is living beings are free from their suffering condition and again properly situated in their loving relationship with Him. So that love for the Supreme means automatically great compassion. Not for the material condition of money, but for the unfortunate spiritually devoid the soul. The sit-down movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very naturally follows all of the activities, all in all varieties and forms of giving others the opportunity to hear something more efficient. It seems so this nectarian understanding of the soul's active position in relation to God's spiritual world. Our Harinam party today went right into Midtown Manhattan. We went chanting, started at 42nd Street by Brother Larry, right down Fifth Avenue, across 34th Street in front of the Empire State Building and over to Herald Square and chanted in front of Mason. And as this whole thing was going on, it was very inspiring. We were just, you know, a small band, 10 or 12 young devotees, very enthusiastically voicing the holy name of the Lord for the benefit of many of the creatures that were survived, some of the people hardly resemble human beings. So what compassion the Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement has. The ability of to appreciate in any kind of a deep way what was present. I'm sure that wasn't there. Some people were appreciating it. Not just they thought it was catchy. Or they're pleased by it. And some actually had some finding appreciation. But nonetheless, the dormant God consciousness was being given an opportunity to awaken. And aside from that form of awakening, even minutely in God consciousness and others, so many forms have been taken. By distributing Krishna Prasad and by being present. Innocently reading magazines, products, and telling some people about Krishna's message. There are a couple of people that I'm keeping regular correspondence with that are in prisons. Such a difficult situation that is. But sure enough, even in the prisons, there are people that, when given an opportunity to hear transcendental messages, their hearts change. Descriptions are coming about how people used to be like that, but now they're like this. Their whole outlook, and their behavior in relationship with others, and what they'll eat and not eat, and their whole demeanor just becomes transformed when given the opportunity to hear transcendental messages. So as it works in the preliminary stage, it also works in intermediate and in stages as well. And as one's spiritual life progresses, gradually, it becomes more and more. At least for those who are desirous of tasting the real desired result, intended result, who very carefully direct hearing the chant process towards the proper goal, carefully eliminating other things that arise. Not specifically, but
it seems like it would be in the garden, it would seem to become the garden.
First offenses are still at the time. First offenses to the Vaishnava, as you mentioned. But being situated in one's first and Bhaktivata Bija is planted. When a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care by becoming a gardener. If he waters the seed gradually by the process of shrava and kirtana, the seed will begin to sprout. Being situated in the heart and being watered by shravana and kirtana, the bhakti birth grows more and more. And then it attains shelter of the desired tree of the Lord's feet of Krishna. And the converse isn't directly stated. But with every injunction, there's a prohibition. Two separate things you're bringing up at once now. One is by neglect, you're in the chanting. So the two conditions are presented. The seed has been planted, and the struggle from the process is going on. Then it will grow. Process that they don't have to grow. I'm going to chant. So one neglects, you're in the chanting. The very nature of these list of six items. Oh, can you do that a little bit? Nishada Achara. The synonym means behavior not to be exhibited by a desiring to become perfect. Kutinati. Diplomacy. So here it's diplomatic behavior. Jiva Himsana. Unnecessary killing, unnecessarily killing animals to soul. Labha, crop according to material calculations. Puja, adoration achieved by satisfying mundane people. Ishta Adi, becoming an important man in material calculations, and so on. So each of these items are items that will also grow in strength by the very same process of hearing the chanting that makes the devotional people grow. And naturally, just as when rain falls in one's garden, or you're watering anything or some certain desired seed is growing, other things are also dormant in that soil, and the water is there. Sunlight is good, often good. And I guess you make it more quickly.
The longer they go, unfortunately, without hunger, it's going to be good. Sometimes when you have a garden, it's a big, huge weed. Pull it out, pull the plant out.
One of the benefits, one of the many benefits of the association with devotees. Because in the association with devotees, the hearing and chanting process naturally comes. Because that's, one is a genuine devotee, that's what the Lord is doing amongst, within each other's association. But then also, people point out, where one may be overlooking a certain need, others can point out, here's a certain need. Didn't be pointed out and assist someone in the movement. I don't want to play with it. It's choking me over.
Right out, there's no chance of you don't go down to get it, he tells it will encourage you to go. You know what's in there. You know, if you don't do anything, it's going to start spreading, so you're going to start moving.
The good forms of material behavior are, especially in the preliminary stages, are far easier to detect. Push aside. But these are ones that are far more dangerous and precious as one progresses. And sure enough, the bad behavior, if one doesn't, the bad, the gross reforms behavior also start to manifest again. Jato, Dharpa, and Marjana, Prabha Maharaja, Radha, and Radha, it's putting out the fire of material existence. It's cleansing the heart. It's bringing to a stronger position the natural and innate tendency for serving God. But as it's mentioned, other things also develop, other types of desires also are there. Just with chanting, there's, for example, there are intenses. One can go on chanting, which is how you describe millions of lifetimes, and not get the actual result is desire. The actual result is desire, is pure love of God. To get that pure love of God, one has to have pure devotion. But there are things other than pure devotion. Devotion will develop, but other pure devotion can also develop. That kind of devotion in which one becomes concerned with the adoration of others. Then how much I am pleasing to. Or one can develop the attachment for the facilities that bring a saintly person forth. So they're level, but in another, they're more devastating. Because when you take up the process of chanting, take it in a very early stage of someone's, say they have some bad habit, say they have a bad smoking habit. So they can try to give up that smoking, but by taking up something that will keep out of their consciousness, then that trying to get rid of that smoking habit can eventually be effective, can be achieved by a high temptation to become this cigarette smoke. So, but they had to make some effort to get rid of that. The same idea for some further stage of advancement. It's not that one should expect Krishna to do all the work for you, as it's being mentioned here, Krishna, like using this into a Krishna as a guardian. If the gardener is the one who has to move the leaves, Krishna will be the gardener and will just take care of everything for you. If you want to become pure devotee of the Lord, then you'll have to desire to see things that are unwanted and remove them. So to get to the finer and finer, more subtle stages of impurities, the strength of that kind of desire, the ability to perceive these things, how they are within your own heart, comes from achievement. That's the Bhakti Lata people do. But there's still further work that you have to do.
I just